The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the Majestic Day in downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, congratulations. I heard you had a boon of a day yesterday.
It did, yeah. It was a nice little casino gambling day. It was one of those just dumb gambling days, though. Like, I was up like a few bucks and then found a ticket in my pocket where I was like, oh, let me just run through this quick on my way out. They were like, oh, hit a couple of hand pays on the way out. All right, nice. So, yeah, it was nice.
Very nice. Here's the thing about dumb.
And somehow, in the middle of it, I missed the glorious, glorious red card bet.
Red card from Paul Carr in the Colombia-Uruguay game.
What a call.
It was, by the way, the most blatant red card ever.
And it was like, there's like the gambling side of it with the game that was fun, right? And then like after the game, the chaos in the stands, which was a little scary.
Columbia, what Kelly's referring to, by the way, and congratulations again. Dumb gambling wins are just as good as smart gambling wins.
Yeah.
As are dumb gambling losses just the same as smart gambling losses. What Kelly's referring to, and by the way, we will have Bill Krakenberger here. He's going to talk about all kinds of things with us on Scripted. Zach Cohen on Wimbledon coming up. Hopefully he can have a winner for you because I certainly can't. Although I do have Krejcikova later, plus the games and on the money line, taking a flyer against Rybakina. So good luck to all of us. But about the soccer, Colombia, Uruguay. So I just there's a few things. I don't want to sound like the ugly American. I'm not that guy. I'm not like all about America. But you know how I feel about soccer. If you follow this show long enough, it's just tough for me to warm to it for several reasons. Some of which you probably hear from lots of other people, and some of which you probably don't. The part that you don't is I am fascinated by the manner in which soccer announcers and soccer pundits and pregame and postgame shows talk about soccer. So Colombia, Uruguay, by any stretch, great game in Copa America last night. Colombia ends up winning it 1-0. What Kelly's referring to is Colombia played more than a half of that up 1-0, a man down, after they were issued a red card. And a justifiable red card. But, you know, so this was the great game. And then it got ugly afterwards as it got malice in the Palace, where Uruguayan players were in the stands with Colombian fans. So it was just, there's a shot of it right there, as a matter of fact,
yeah,
if you're watching.
Yeah.
That ain't good in any sport in any country. Oh, goodness. Look at that.
Kind of sad, too. I heard some of the Uruguay players talking afterward. I mean, they were scared because that's exactly where all their families were sitting. So they felt like they had to get involved because the police and security weren't doing anything, apparently, or were very limited to what they were doing. This is in North Carolina.
I was going to say, we can't put on a proper tournament. But here's the thing with, like, so after the game, so it was a great game, right? It was after, and this was before they were aware of this going on in the stands. And Alexi Lalas, who God love him, loves soccer, obviously. But here was his description of this game, and I am just so amused and fascinated by this because the way that they talk about soccer, this is a quote, he goes, "That was awesome. That was just incredible. As a game, just a moment of entertainment. It had all of the brutal and recklessness of the Brazil game. Yet there was beautiful soccer. There was wonderful moments. There was drama. There was tension. There's tears. There's passion. There's emotion. It bodes well for 2026 with these types of crowds, these types of environments, these types of players. This was awesome. Awesome for the tournament, obviously awesome for the teams and the countries involved, but also just for soccer in America. And I'm just like, did we transform the world with this game? What happened?
Like,
the co-opting of the word passion for soccer announcers describing soccer is one of the most ridiculous things ever. Like, the Indiana Fever have passion. I don't know if you know that. Like, the Tufts Jumbos have passion when they play D3 sports, just to throw out one school.
Jasmine Paolini is going to have some passion probably playing today.
They both have passion. They're like a political party who have co-opted the word to only apply to soccer. It drives me crazy. As if something there was magical in a way that we couldn't comprehend. Anyway, it was a good game. I'm not suggesting it wasn't. So Colombia and Argentina are going to play in the Copa America final, which a lot of people might have had, by the way.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, and just to move this over to the Euros, like, this is...
Which we are next.
We were texting about it, but the part where...
Oh, here
like,
we go.
Whoever the the color commentator is in there who does soccer all the time. And sorry, I'm blank. I don't know who it is. But like when I have to start questioning whether they're making the right call on a call on the field, I'm like, I don't know soccer that well, but this doesn't look like it should be a penalty.
Well,
and this guy's like, oh, it's egregious. It should be. Absolutely.
So this is the part that I'm sure goes beyond me and you, which is just as our American sensibilities, I've tried to warm to this sport for all these years. But yesterday's England-Netherlands game was just, I think, example, you know, case exhibit, whatever the hell, of we'll never get there. Which is to say that penalty that allowed England to tie up the game on what eventually was a Harry Kane penalty kick, the equalizer on a penalty kick, is just exactly what you're saying, which is, first of all, I didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the announcers even considered that there was a penalty for about 45 seconds to a minute after that. Mm-hmm, Am I wrong about that?
No, yeah, you're right.
Then they sort of, they're actually looking at this.
You know, when everybody realized Harry Kane was still rolling on the ground for like 3 minutes.
The unbelievable faking of injuries, which has always been the thing that's most counter to our American sensibilities.
Sure, but like you can't blame the guy in that situation, right?
Not,
it might have drawn the attention.
Yeah. So then it's a penalty. It happens the split second after the ball leaves Harry Kane. So you could make the case, well, it has no effect on the play because it happens after the ball is gone. But the fact of the matter, and I said this earlier in the tournament too, there was a Germany game. I can't remember who they were playing. But if an offensive player shoves down a defensive player in the penalty box, they set up a goal opportunity and actually cash in on the goal, no one bats an eye. Oh, goal. But if a defensive player so much as coughs on an offensive player in that box, God help you, it's a penalty kick. And so this was just one of these. And what did I say? The equivalent in American football is a penalty kick, the value of it is like 17 and a half American football points.
That's my favorite thing, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's just, it's almost a gimme, right?
It might as well be PI in the end zone. You get the ball at the 1 yard line, but it's seven with touchdowns now worth 17 and a half points.
It's like a defensive pass interference at any point in the field. Sorry, that's 17 and a half points you've just got. Sorry about that.
We don't care if it was ticky tacky or close or whatever.
I just don't know. And England goes on to win it, by the way, 2-1 with a just tremendous goal. They end up winning it, and I guess good on them. So England now up against Spain in the Euros 2024 final. But I couldn't help but feel for people who had the Netherlands, like our buddy Chris Velika, just like, oh, God.
Well, and it kind of hurts. The other two goals scored in the game were incredible goals. Like, those are the goals that make me want to like the game. But then when
the
you see something
Spain
decided.
The game was spectacular.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then when you would look back at it at the end of it, like we are right now, and realize it was decided by that penalty kick.
Yeah,
really.
But Kelly, the passion, though. I mean, that's what you really have to appreciate. It's the passion.
The passion.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of our football, American football, last year I hit on the last winless team, Carolina Panthers 15-1 here at Circa. So we thought we would take
a look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it was obvious last year, 15-1. So we thought we'd take a look at it this year. And I got to be honest with you. I couldn't narrow it down to one. Now, that's not to say I won't get there eventually. But right now, there were six teams that I think are in the sweepstakes for this. Sadly, can we do the non-sexy ones before the break, and then we'll save the sexier ones for later. And we'll do some baseball exactas as well, which I do have distinct thoughts on and actually want to pull a trigger on a bet. But as far as last winless team in the NFL, the Patriots are the short shot, 6-1. And quite frankly, they ought to be.
Yes.
And the Panthers are plus 750, and quite frankly, they ought to be number two to me.
So I actually thought they should have been longer a little bit.
Well, here's the deal with the Patriots. If you look at their schedule, and what you're trying to do with all of these is where's the pitfall? In this case, where's the opportunity to win? And in the Patriots' case, I think you have to go all the way. Like, what you have to sort of, you know, you look at these, if you look at game lines or if you project your own game lines, where is the first opportunity for them to win? And I would say it's November 3rd.
Yes, I'm with you. This is why I also bet them I bet the fewest wins. Fewest wins in no, I didn't bet under the win total. Fewest wins, so I bet.
I mean, they're at Cincinnati, home Seattle, at the Jets, at the Niners, home Dolphins, home Texans. Good God. At Jacksonville, home Jets, and then November 3rd, finally at Tennessee.
And, like, there's people that are high on Tennessee. Like, I'm with you. That's the game I landed on, but...
Now, it's always, you know, dangerous to do the whole win-loss, win-win, or yes, in this case, loss thing.
But if you're betting this market...
But in this case, who among that group are they beating before Tennessee?
I mean, the only answer is if they pull off...
A Jets upset?
I was thinking week 2
Seattle
against the Seahawks.
Yeah. Seattle would be the one. Home against Seattle. Seattle ends up being bad.
Or Jags in London, just because it's a funky London situation. But, I mean, that's only 2 weeks before that Titans game.
I know 6-1 isn't nearly as fun as numbers far longer than that. But, man, there's not going to be a better schedule in this market than that. By the way, let's just take a look at Carolina before the break, and we'll get to the longer shot possibilities after this. But Carolina's plus 750. Panthers were the last winless team last year. And remember the rules with this. At Circa, it's literally by time.
Yeah.
If you happen to be scheduled later in the same week as another team that is tied with you with zero wins, and they get their first win earlier in the day, you will win on the later game team. So the Panthers at plus 750. I mean, let's just quickly run through this before the break. The Panthers are at the Saints. Maybe some people think they could there. Home Chargers at the Raiders. Maybe. Home Bengals at Bears. Maybe. Home Falcons. It's a little harder, right? At Commanders, at Broncos. It's a little easier, I should say.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, than the Patriots. I just think the Patriots are I would bet the Patriots at 6-1 way quicker than I'd bet the Panthers at plus 750.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
We'll get to the sexier ones later. Zach Cohen, Wimbledon, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems and trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures props, and awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. To access this invaluable guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we'll add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game, and it's a brand new graphic.
Hey, there you go. Get 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. Gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe with promo code ANG.
ANG like a new graphic.
Oh, look at you.
Boom! Firing on all cylinders today.
This guy.
I got my D task force over here working on a door battery being broken.
Oh, yeah, because it's making that beep all the time.
Yeah, it's like with a smoke alarm when you need to change the batteries in your smoke alarm.
Yeah, we're playing with We're playing hurt every day here.
I've recruited an elite task force around here, though.
Oh. Well.
People I trust the most.
You've got your people.
I got my people.
We get tweets of beating the book. John B. Not that John B., but another one. White Sox came through plus 750 yesterday again. Up after 5, lose the game parlay. Thanks for the info. Yeah, that was our big thing on the Beating the Book podcast again.
It's incredible.
Not that we revealed that the White Sox bullpen sucked. Everybody knew that. But the fact that they were so good in the first 5s and not good thereafter, how many times did that hit? And when we did the podcast last week, it had been 16 times that the White Sox had already done that at an average price of 7-1 or plus 750. They have done it 3 times since.
I was going to say at least twice that I know of.
So you think about the math on that, you're literally coming up, if you had just bet this every single day blindly, the wins would have you up almost 150 units. And then even if you threw all the losses back, you're still up nearly 100. Well, what was it, like 70, 80 units. It's just an incredible bet. And it's one of those where I said on the podcast, I think it's sustainable. The whole point of those those quarterly derivatives pods is what is sustainable and what is not. I don't think it changes. I think the White Sox continue to be good in the first five and then continue to suck.
Well, at least if you don't want to trust the White Sox everyday first five, you could do the stupid, like, I used to live bet the Dodgers right on primetime action, just wait for the White Sox to get up. Like, whenever they do it, just go on the other side.
Trust the glove thinks I was being political when I said America. Yeah, I trust the glove. Maybe you're the one being political. Good God. Trip Tepper, the collective gaslighting by soccer analysts across the various TV platforms is really something. They acted like that Copa semi last night needed to be an exhibit at the Louvre. I completely agree. Again, should I? I could read it all day with him, with Lexi's quotes, but the passion, oh, the passion. Johnny Ringo, easy fix for faking injuries in soccer. If play stops for a downed player, they come out of the game. John, I don't know what John Massey's talking about here. SN Wright. Tennis, man, send soccer boys to bed. Oh, really? SN Wright, you think soccer's more exciting than tennis? Okay. New York Mets 16. Let's just say we disagree. New York Mets 16. How does the passion of football compare to the passion of finding out your sushi spot? And then primetime. Yo, Gil, you want passion? Show him video of Kelly typing out an email. So true. The man bangs a keyboard with his fingers in a way that cannot be described.
Gotta punch those keys. Yeah, gotta make them count.
Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can find him on Twitter at BettingOnX, and he's having a much better Wimbledon than Drew and me are having, that's for sure. Zach Cohen, everybody. How you doing?
Doing well. I didn't have the best Wimbledon. My futures went up in flames just like yours. I had that Madison Keys one just destroyed me.
Yeah, but it's more than the futures. Like, I'm watching this match right here. You had Vekic plus a set and a half. You laid a good juice on that, but you got there. She won the first set against Paolini. This is the first of the two women's semis, by the way, where they're split. Vekic won the first set 6-2. Paolini won the second 6-4. If Donna Vekic gets to the Wimbledon finals a year after Marketa Vondrousova wins it, good God, man. We need to all punt on this tournament from now on.
Either punts or just take some massive long shots, honestly. Like, if it's going to be like this every year, we better be on the right side of it.
It's just incredible. Who do you have now? The second semifinal is Elena Rybakina and Barbora Krejcikova. Rybakina, a prohibitive favorite. What did you do with that match?
I took Krejcikova plus 1.5 sets. I got it at plus 125. It's still out there at plus money. I just think that we're underrating her a little bit because of these last two seasons, which have been injury riddled for her. Like, she was once a top five player in the game. She's good on grass. So she's been to finals on this surface, is a Grand Slam champion. She won in 2021 at the French Open. I just think she has a really tricky game for power players, which we saw, you know, in her wins over Danielle Collins and Yelena Ostapenko. This will be a little different. Rybakina's, you know, bigger and a little bit better than those two, but I think that it stands that, like, if you get that slice shot low enough and, you know, really change up the height of the ball, it's going to throw her off a little bit. And I just can't get over the fact that, like, we saw Rybakina lay an egg against Paolini in the quarterfinals at the French Open as a big favorite, you know, just a month ago. So I feel like seeing her with all these expectations right now, Krejcikova has no, you know, expectations whatsoever. I think that's going to play a factor in the match.
I couldn't agree with you more. I took Krejcikova plus the games, and I also took a flyer on her on the money line at plus, what it ended up being, 377 or something like that. Again, VSiN.com/picks for everybody, every host, every guest, every sports plays for VSiN subscribers. Just raw data just to back you up here. Rybakina this year, I mean, besides Ziga, had the best grass numbers, right? Last year of grass, which is, again, not a huge sample size, but she's at 111 talking service points and return points percentage one, which again is elite. But Barbora Krejcikova, if you go back 2 years, she's probably third. She's at 108. So yeah, the injuries, this will come down to, will those numbers manifest giving Krejcikova more than a puncher's chance, or will Rybakina's sheer power just blow it away? I tend to think the former, like you.
Yep, and Krejcikova's 2-0 against her in the past. I mean, one of those matches had a third set tiebreaker, you know, not a real match. So if you want to throw it out, like, that's fine. I understand that. But the other one, you know, was a really close match on indoor hard courts in 2022 towards the end of the year. That was when Krejcikova was not playing very well and Rybakina was. So, you know, I think that she's shown that she can stand up to that serve and just play with her from the baseline. So I thought that was a really good price to get the set at plus money. I don't have a problem with the games. And I do think she's live in the match.
Yeah, here comes Jasmine Paolini, by the way, up a break now in the deciding set against Donna Vekic. Paolini trying to reach her second consecutive slam final. Remember, she got beat handily by Iga over the French Open. All right, have you had a chance to look at the men's semis tomorrow?
I have. I have all my quarterfinal, I mean semifinal previews up at vsin.com right now, so I dove into all of them.
What do you got?
I have Medvedev plus 5.5 games. I laid a little bit more juice than I would have taken if I took 4.5, but I like to be protected if, you know, it's if it's one tiebreaker and then two, you know, 6-4, 7-5. So I took Medvedev with the games. I just think that Alcaraz has looked a little shaky to me. I know that he got by Tommy Paul in a match that I did think Tommy would have a chance in, but I don't know. Alcaraz's serve has just been a nightmare throughout this tournament. And I think that Medvedev is one of the best returners in the world. I think he'll make him pay for it if he's not hitting his spots. And I think Medvedev is a much better server than his numbers suggest this season. So if he does go up a break, I think he'll be able to hold on to it. And I just trust Medvedev to make adjustments. He's lost to Alcaraz two matches in a row. I think he'll come out here with a different strategy. We saw him beat Sinner after losing five matches in a row to him. Like, he's a master strategist on the court. And I think that people are just kind of taking him a little lightly. I don't think that he's that much worse than the current big three in the sport. I think he's right there with them.
Yeah, I think I think I tend to forget about him, you know, because he's not a, you don't think of him in that big three, but he is right on the cusp for sure at all times. And the Alcaraz thing is interesting, because if Alcaraz ends up winning this tournament, you could make the case it's two slams in a row where he's like not even close to his best that he wins. And then you're like, oh my God, this guy's banking slams without even playing well. So there's that to watch. What about Djokovic and Musetti? Djokovic with the extra rest, of course.
I ended up going with Musetti plus 2.5 sets in that match. I really had a hard time playing it. Djokovic was just such a heavy favorite. But I do think Musetti, you know, the last two times they've played each other at majors, Musetti's won two sets. I think he knows that if he plays well, you know, he can compete with him. It's just going to be harder on grass, obviously. I do feel like an idiot for – I wrote a story saying not to bet Djokovic at plus 400 before the draw came out, and then that draw was released. And, man, he played absolutely nobody. He also looks – healthier than he has all season right now. That match against Holger Rune was a clinic. So yeah. Djokovic is playing well right now. Definitely looks like he has a real shot at winning the tournament. But I think Musetti to win one set seems pretty reasonable.
Well, I mean, that's why I say, like, of course he has the right, because on his half of the bracket, we said this yesterday, Dimonor pulled out, Orkots got hurt, Zverev got hurt, right, against Fritz. This tournament, more than any, has been, if you could have figured out who was going to get hurt, ill or gassed, that would be the primary handicap throughout this entire tournament. I've never seen a tournament like this where those three things have come every day in some form.
My friend texted me saying that they're playing on the MetLife Stadium grass.
That's a great call. Thank you, Zach. Good luck with all the bets, man. Let's go Krejcikova.
Thanks, guys.
My man, Zach Cohen. Betting on X does such great work. Our guides, VSiN.com, on a daily basis. We'll come back. Major League Baseball exactas got to play next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, staring at screens here, so pardon me when I miss something behind Kelly. It is actually Donna Vekic who is up a break in the third set. So Donna Vekic on the cusp of getting to a Wimbledon final, my goodness. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jason H11, congrats to Kelly on the D-Gen Gambler win. You are one step closer to Gilly coming back from break with no Kelly because he's at Sigma Derby screaming the four horse on. Let's go. Trust the Glove said he was, I was referring to the Tonight Show bit by Johnny Carson doing an editorial as Floyd R. Turbo. You never do politics or mock people. My bad. Okay, I'm sorry, Trust the Glove, I misunderstood. Gil's Sushi, formerly Rick Olier, says, fantastic interview yesterday. I assume he's referring to Deanna Cologne. He says, since Kelly has proven himself to be king of all bookers, what can we put the odds on an interview with Bob Seger? Perhaps he can play like a rock in person instead of the deafening speaker blaring it overhead. Sorry about that. The numbers, guys. Must-watch semifinal has me tuning into ANG. That's a numbers game for the first time this morning. Sorry, put me in the penalty box. And Peter Watry, I seldom watch tennis, but bet and watched Fritz yesterday. I was shocked at his mental game and how he had to show on his face every emotion of frustration with his play. His previous victory versus the German, talking about Sasha Zverev, was so great. Needs Tom Brady or Roger's composure. This has been the thing about this tournament. I've never witnessed a tournament like this, where from one match to another, the level of performance swings so much from one player to the next. In, like I said with Zach, injuries, illness, and just getting gassed, those ended up being the three biggest handicaps of this tournament. There's no way you could have figured out any of them.
I didn't. We were watching that a little bit yesterday while we were still here. I didn't turn it back on when I got home. I was shocked last night when I saw that he had lost.
He lost, all right, after beating Sasha.
And yeah, like you said, he looked great there. The other one I cut on Drew Dinsick's pod this morning, Bet the Edge, him bringing up that Krejcikova, I did not know this. And like this, God bless you guys for trying to predict this stuff. But what, she didn't play on grass for like 4 years?
That's correct.
Like dodged the surface for years of her career.
It's easy to dodge grass because it's so quick. It's 5 or 6 weeks. So you can do it.
Like, that's wild.
But Marketa Vondrousova won Wimbledon last year. Right. She had won 2 grass matches before it.
That's insane.
Her entire grass record, she's 2 matches under 500. She won Wimbledon. So, Krejcikova, good
luck.
She's
got cool tattoos.
Yes, she does. Larry Fresh. By the way, Deanna Colon went over big yesterday. I'll just read some more. Larry Fresh. I'm taking a summer college math class in the morning, so I'm still doing numbers, but I've been listening to the podcast replays. Great job, guys, with Deanna. Also sad I'll miss Crack today if we can get him out of the mirage. We shall see. Derp, Jardians is really swell. A little pill with a big story to tell. What a segment. Deanna was great. Steve the Proxy, I just listened on demand. Great Jardians interview. Next on the radar for random non-sports betting-related interviews has to be Milana Weintraub from AT&T. Her parents migrated to the U.S. as refugees of anti-Semitism. Maybe she can be the next. All right. And then Joby, the interview today with Jardians commercial legend Deanna Colon. Maybe the best segment in the Gil Alexander cinematic universe since The Love Zone.
The Love Zone. God, I miss The Love Zone. Oh, man. Anyway, we couldn't do it after after Danielle left. It just became a little weird. Yeah.
A little weird after Danielle left. Yeah. All right. And Major League Exactas, we were doing with Paul Sporer. Those were by division. DraftKings has American League Championship Series exact outcome, National League Championship Series exact outcome. So which team beats which team in each respective league? Now, you got to know, obviously, you got to project who's going to make the playoffs. More important than that is you have to be able to project who's going to be the number one and two seed, who's going to be the third seed, who's going to be the wild cards. Because if you end up in the same part of the bracket, if you will, then you're screwed on this. So let's do the National League first, where I don't like the bets as much as I do in the American League. But in the National League right now, you have a situation where the Phillies are 6 games clear of the number 2 best team. And that's really a dogfight between the Dodgers and the Brewers right now for who ends up as the number 2 seed. If it started right now, I think the Dodgers have like a half game lead over the Brewers, if I'm not mistaken. So you have to sort of project, all right, let's just say you assume the Phillies will end up as the number 1 seed. Okay, if that's the case, what you want to do then is not obviously making a Brewers-Dodgers play right now ain't the move. Maybe you think there's another team in the National League of the wild cards that could actually sneak in, particularly the Atlanta Braves, right? If the Atlanta Braves end up as a wild card, the issue becomes then, though, that if they end up as the 4th seed or the number 1 wild card team, the winner of the 4-5 ends up playing the number 1 seed in the next round. So a Phillies-Braves situation, assuming you don't think the Braves will fall all the way to the 6th seed, betting a Phillies-Braves thing isn't really the move here either in the National League. Does that make sense? Because
yep.
You won't meet in the National League Championship Series. So looking for value on the National League side of things is kind of problematic, quite frankly, because you'd have to have the sense, like, let's take the Braves and the Phillies at 25-1, or the Phillies to beat the Braves. Either one of those, Phillies to beat Braves or Braves to beat Phillies, both of those are 25-1. But again, you have to anticipate that they would meet all the way in the championship series. And the way that it looks now, unless you think the Braves are going to collapse and will just squeak in as the sixth seed and then we'll play well, because you're looking for, you know, good pitching rotation, obviously, in a best of three and a best of five. But it doesn't work out right now as it looks as we head into the All-Star break. So I don't have a bet in the National League Championship Series exact outcome market, because I'm certainly not playing anything short, right? It's not worth it to try to say, oh, Dodgers sure. to beat Phillies, Phillies to beat Dodgers, which are plus 450 and 6-1 respectively. Or even now, maybe you go outside of the box. Maybe you think, well, here's what I think, Gil. I think the Dodgers will get there as the number two seed, but I do think the Braves will end up the four seed and they will beat everybody to get to play the Dodgers. Well, if you think that, it's still not that sexy, right? The Dodgers beating the Braves is plus 850. The Braves beating the Dodgers is 11-1. I don't like any of them.
Yeah, what's the Braves price just to win the NL at this point? Wouldn't you just?
That's exactly
that?
Right. Yeah. You should go to another market. So I don't like any of these. Phillies Brewers, Dodgers Brewers. Again, it's tough to figure out in the National League if there's a bet that's worth your while. In the American League, though, I would say it's a different story. I think in the American League, you could actually justify a bet. And quite frankly, Kelly, I may make one here if we have it in town.
Probably not.
So, you know, this is for you guys who might want to bet it over at DraftKings. So right now in the American League, in terms of seeding, the Orioles only two games ahead of the Yankees in the East. The Guardians right there with the best record as well, right, in the American League. So you have to figure out who you think is going to be, you know, first of all, who you think is going to win the East. That's the first thing. Will they have a better record than the Guardians? Now, I can tell you as a guy who had the Guardians in March, April, and in the May markets of most wins, that the reason, one of the big reasons I bet the Guardians in those months was because their schedule was so easy in those months. So moving forward, the Guardians have the second most difficult schedule in the rest of, in baseball, in Major League Baseball, second most difficult schedule the rest of the way. So I think you, for the purposes of this, you can assume, you know what they say about assuming, but for the purposes of this conversation, you assume that the AL East winner will have the number one record. Maybe you feel that by the way, it doesn't matter if a wild card team has a better record than a division winner. It's always 1-2-3 in terms of division winners, in terms of the seeding. So the Guardians will probably end up as the number two seed if you think they win the AL Central. And then the AL West winner right now is significantly lower in terms of their in the standings as that 1-2. And if you believe the Astros, as I do and as so many do, will end up winning the West, but will probably end up being a three seed. Again, these are all, there's so many moving parts, but let's just go with that. Then I do think you have some bets here. For instance, off the board, not even pictured, right? Orioles to beat Astros. Astros, well, we do see Astros to beat Orioles at 22-1. Because again, if the Orioles are the one seed and the Astros are the three, they could absolutely meet in the championship series.
Same price.
And there you have same price. So Astros to beat Orioles, Orioles to beat Astros, both 22-1. That might be worth a bet. Like that to me, unlike all the National League ones, you could get me to bet that. How do you, you know, how does that get torpedoed? Well, if the Yankees overcome the Orioles, then the Orioles end up, let's say, as the four seed. They would take on the Astros as the three seed far too early for the American League Championship Series. That's how that gets beat. So you, with these markets, it's the reason that these markets are kind of cool is because you have, it's multi-level handicapping. You have to figure out what your regular season opinion is, where they end up in seeding, and can they actually meet then in the championship series. So it's a hard bet to hit, because you have to be on the correct side of the bracket in each case. But I do think if you made me bet, if you said, what's the best bet? I think it's Astros over Orioles or Orioles over Astros in the ALCS at 22-1. That'd be my play.
Yeah, you don't, like the longer ones almost make sense, right? Because there's more, there's still so much time left in the season where the bracket could switch, right?
The bracket could switch.
Yeah.
The Yankees are only two behind the Orioles that could torpedo right now, by the way.
Right.
Astros Yankees, though, would be longer. Those two, Astros to beat Yankees, Yankees to beat Astros, longer than 22-1, longer than the Astros-Orioles combinations. So depending on what your handicap is, there is a bet to be made on the American League side, I believe. Not so much on the National League. We'll come back. We'll talk more about those NFL last winless odds next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams, with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL Betting Guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL Betting Guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. Crackman coming up, top of the hour, unscripted. We get tweets at Beating the Book.
Currently doing a meet and greet.
Yeah, man, look at him. Look at him. He's the most popular man in this.
Signing autographs.
Yeah. This is from Dusty at DustyNoel7. Do you plan on betting the Olympic tennis? And does this mean they will be playing on clay being in France? Yes and yes. I will, and they are playing on clay at Philippe Chatrier back at Roland-Garros.
I'm going to guess that Gil's hoping they get back there pretty quickly.
Oh, no. What's going on with Vekic? Something wrong with her?
Yeah, that did look like that. Maybe that was earlier in the match or something?
Oh, maybe so, because she's rolling right now.
Like
she's up a break. Yeah, it was a replay. That's the thing with this. You never know. Any second, somebody could go down. Kev McD, every time you mention the Guardians, I now start singing the Jardians tune, saying Guardians, and I hate you for this. You're welcome, Kev McD. Brian M., the next non-sports betting interview Kelly needs to book is the owner of the sushi spot for Monday, August 12th, the first show after the conclusion of Bet Bash, to talk about the expansion from the newfound Triple D-style business.
That would
be great.
See, now, this is a good idea. What was it, like Bob Seger, I'm not getting guys. Maybe Dustin Sweetelson can, okay? I'm not the king of booking around here. Dustin is, okay? Let's just settle that right now. I'm very okay admitting when people are better at things than me. But the owner of the sushi spot, I might be able to pull. I just got to find out where it is first.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's a language barrier.
I'll bring someone with me.
It's not going to be a good interview. Yeah, it's just a language barrier. But yeah, I'm announcing the name of the sushi spot, Bet Bash Week. I promised. When the Astros miraculously won.
Not going to be a good interview. That's great. We'll find someone at the restaurant then.
Okay. They're very sweet.
Or someone's child from the restaurant or something.
I still have to have the preliminary visit there where I say to them, what's going to, this is going to happen.
Oh, and don't do that. Let them be all excited if a bunch of people show up.
No, I have to tell them. I have to tell them in advance. This is what's been going on and this is what's going to happen. Just in case. There's a sliver of a possibility they go, don't do it.
Okay. Wow. This somehow the story gets more fascinating.
I told you this when I said it the next day. When I said I was going to announce, I go, the only possibility that I won't do it is if they object to it.
Yeah, why would they object to it, though?
Because it's small.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know. Maybe they have enough. I don't know. Maybe they're like, no, bring it on.
I'm going to guess they're going to say bring it on.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest about it. Okay, let's continue with our NFL last winless team stuff. If you missed it earlier, this is a market that I won on last year with the Panthers at 15-1 as last winless. But this year, there's not a team that really jumps off the page because the Patriots 6-1, quite frankly, the short shot, are absolutely the team justified to be the short shot. Now, Kelly, you and I said this off air. 6-1 actually might not be short enough.
Yeah.
Like 6-1 is actually a pretty good price. Does Circa have this up yet?
I was surprised. Let me check. I was surprised to see them that long.
Yeah.
As I don't think, I know we went through it. Maybe me and you disagree a little bit. I don't think the Panthers and Titans, once you even start going down with the rest of the single digit teams here, at least.
Well, let's do that.
Like the Panthers, we started going over there. I don't expect the Panthers to be great this year. I know there are a lot of people that do think they're going to improve significantly. I'm not in that camp.
I'm not either.
But we went through multiple opponents that I could easily see being pretty dang bad this year. So it's, once you start adding up a few of those, just the probability of them possibly stealing one of those games, I think they should be way longer than the Patriots.
I agree with that. Titans are 9-1. Titans, you could make a case if you were really down on the Titans that they don't win until November 3rd. That's right about the same time you could make a case that the Patriots don't win until, though, also.
I just think, though, like, I'm not that high on the Bears.
Right. The Titans, just going through the Titans schedule, the Titans have chances, though, because I'm with you. It has to correlate to your handicap, and I'm with you. I don't think the Titans are going to be as bad as the Patriots, and the Titans do have on their schedule. The first game is at Chicago. They could win then.
They could win that game.
They could win that game. Whereas I don't think there is a...
So, like, what, you're going to bet, what was it, 8-1 on Titans, and you could lose that bet week one easily?
Yeah, 9-1. Okay, how about the 10-1 Vikings? Khalif is out there going, no chance.
Now there is a chance you could bet Patriots, Titans, and just run into that game where they play each other. Like, there is a possibility. Those two teams. Because I bring up that Bears game, but then it's Jets, Packers, Dolphins, Colts, Bills, Lions for the Titans. Like, that is pretty brutal.
Vikings open up at the Giants. They could win the first game.
They could win that. Right? I expect them to win that.
Vikings could win the very first game. After that, you could make a case. Home Niners, home Texans, at Green Bay, home Jets. Ah, the free bonus square of a bye. That's huge in all this.
Yep.
Home Detroit, at the Rams, home Colts, at Jacksonville. Maybe you'd have to go all the way to the 17th of November. Like, you'd have to think the Vikings aren't any good, though. Like, they probably win one of those along the way, but they're an interesting call if your original handicap is they're not going to be good. Somehow, if they lose the Giants game week one, that could be a sneaky team. And I know that goes against how Khalif feels about them.
Yeah.
But they're 10-1. All right. I just want to get to a couple more of these because there's where it starts to get even sexier, right? Arizona's 16-1. Arizona, they have a couple spots they could win.
Yeah, you're not going to talk me into this one. I'm not going to be surprised.
I'm not trying to talk you into it. I'm just going through them. Just trying to be thorough. I'm not trying to talk you into it. Cardinals, they play at the Bills to open up the season, right? Then they're home against the Rams, home against the Lions. Then it's home Washington. So they could win that 9-29, September 29th. Then at San Francisco, at Green Bay, home Chargers, at Miami, home Chicago. So they have a couple spots where they might even be favored.
Yeah, good chance that Commanders game they're favored.
Yep, right? Commanders game they might be favored. Certainly Chicago game they might be favored. It's a tough schedule too, though. But there are a couple spots they could win. All right, just two more here. By the way, I skipped the Giants, who are 12-1. Because the Giants, they could win that first game against the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm down on the Giants, but it's still that game. Like, that game's that. Like, that's going to be a tight game, I think.
I do, too. But, again, with the Vikings, you can make a case that if they lose that, then they're going to lose a bunch.
Correct.
With the Giants, they're home Minnesota at Washington. I don't know that I want to live through those two games before I get to the tough part. Because if they were to go 0-2 in those two games, then the Giants would be the leader in the clubhouse, right? At Cleveland, home Dallas, at Seattle, home Cincinnati, home Philly, at Pittsburgh. Home Washington is November 3rd. Which brings me to... All right, you ready for this? At 45-1.
Yeah. I think it was the second thought. I'm going to say it's the second thought I had. Was it the first or second thought for you?
It was the first.
First thought, yeah. Okay.
But then the Patriots were the second, and I'm like, oh, you can't really argue with this.
Yeah. Patriots were my first thought.
So far, the Patriots at 6-1 still, to me, is the best bet because there's no win there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pittsburgh Steelers at 45-1 needs a look. I'm sorry, everybody. It just does. Pittsburgh Steelers, if you look at it, we already talked about their end to their schedule is the gauntlet of all gauntlets.
Yes.
It's the hardest final seven games you'll ever see. And again, I've bet their season win total under. I've bet their alternate season win total under at 7.5 at big plus money. Here's the beginning of the Steelers season. Again, 45-1 to be the last winless. Just indulge me here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
Well, to me, it's a bunch of coin flippy games. So... At 45-1, like you could get on a run here.
So here it is. Start at Atlanta, at the Falcons, right? Maybe they win that game. You know, maybe it's done already. Then they go at Denver, which is in the elevation. If they happen to lose those two games, it's home Chargers. Maybe you think they'll win that. At Indy, home Dallas. Then they do have an at Vegas, October 13th. Home Jets, home Giants. You know what? As I look at this a second time, it's not that hard. I think I'm changing my mind looking at it a second time. in
I still think they're coin flippy. I think that's a lot. I think it's a long number for a team.
Yes, it is a long, long number for that team. I would agree. The number's probably too long. Does it get home? Probably not.
I'd still rather bet that, though, than a lot of those teams in the teens that we were talking about. You know, like Cardinals or something like that.
I agree with that.
I would much rather have the 45-1 flyer on the Steelers.
But would you rather bet, if you could only have the Steelers 45-1 or the Patriots 6-1?
Patriots 6-1, and I'll probably bet it. Circa doesn't have it up yet.
Okay. I hate to say it, but I think the Patriots 6-1 is actually the best bet on them.
I already bet them to have fewest wins, so like I'm already thinking that way. I should be 6-1, I thought was a long number.
Maybe you want to bet both. Maybe you want to have the 6-1 and the 45-1. Just to
I think that'd be a good way of going about this.
I'd like to see what Circa comes out with it so that we can actually bet it here in Las Vegas because nobody else has it. But that's kind of how that looks. Not as clear to me as last year. Crack Man on the other side, unscripted with Bill Krakenberger, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.